Vice President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, friends and colleagues, we've heard powerful reflections on the challenging time that's facing the humanitarian system and the community at large here. And as we've heard so tellingly from previous speakers, acute hunger is rising, it's intensifying, and you've heard a number of numbers and reflections in that regard. And the threat of famine, unfortunately, tragically, terribly, is becoming increasingly common. Again, just to recall that last year, 7 countries recorded people in catastrophic levels of food insecurity. So I'm not going to repeat numbers that have already been covered, but maybe some nuancing and complementary elements in addition to that. So we talk about absolute numbers. I think it's important also to underscore another challenging dimension, just how entrenched acute hunger is becoming. What do we mean by that? In the last edition of the Global Report on Food Crisis, we noted that 38 countries have been recorded as being in food crisis for 7 years in a row. And in those 38 countries, and I think Rina was touching on this as well, the numbers of people experiencing crisis levels or worse, if it can be worse than crisis levels, of acute food insecurity has more than doubled in that time. Concurrently, as we see humanitarian needs soaring, we need to recognize that those soaring humanitarian needs have happened despite a sustained growth in humanitarian funding. And so while 2021 marked the highest allocation of humanitarian assistance to address food crises within the past 6 years, that component reached nearly $10 billion. It really is vital that we underscore and that we understand together that humanitarian assistance per person has consistently fallen since 2018. We cannot hope to address crises if the funding levels are insufficient, but also if we are not funded across all sectors equally, sufficiently, and in a synchronized, coherent fashion. And this gets back to the heart of the question that His Excellency the Vice President was asking. We must also recognize and address the protracted nature of food crisis. Repeated and compounded shocks have devastated rural livelihoods. People simply have no time to recover before the next blow. Asset bases are depleted, debt burdens are growing, and so humanitarian needs continue to soar. Hunger deepens and unsurprisingly becomes then even more protracted. Of the 30 UN coordinated humanitarian response plans in 2021, 12 were for countries that had had consecutive appeals for the last decade, and with a high degree of similarity of the types of responses proposed year to year. Somalia, for example, has had humanitarian appeals every year for the last 25 years. Unsustainable hunger trends go hand in hand with record levels of humanitarian financing, as I've mentioned, and this, I think, points to some challenges in front of us in terms of how we address food crisis. One of those issues is around then the imbalance of investments. On average, 84% of humanitarian assistance to food sectors is either cash or in-kind food assistance. Nutrition and agriculture, as we've seen from recent analysis, receive 13 and 14% of allocations respectively. And when we hear, including from Valerie earlier, these compelling examples of what can be done with attention to livelihoods and agriculture in crisis settings, that imbalance of funding is concerning. And it's particularly concerning when we recognize that food insecurity, acute food insecurity, has an overwhelmingly rural dimension. At conservative estimates, 2/3 of those in crisis or worse levels of acute hunger are rural people. These are farmers, herders, fishermen, foresters. They produce and sell nutritious food within their communities, or they would if relentless shocks and stresses were not undermining their capacity to cope. How can we pull these individuals out of crisis without much more attention guided by how these individuals derive their livelihoods, how they live, the agency that they have? Humanitarian assistance encompasses a variety of diverse actions, as we know. Responding to an outbreak of Ebola, for example, or protecting civilians in the context of conflict, urgent needs following an an earthquake, or responding to and preventing a famine in a context of drought. We refer to all of these things as humanitarian response, but all of these are happening in unique crisis context, and each of them needs then a discrete, contextualized combination of interventions. In the case of a disease outbreak, we would, for example, expect significant resourcing and funding dedicated to the health sector. Response to an earthquake, attention to needs around shelter, water, search and rescue requirements. All of these things are natural nuances. Equally, when it comes then to responding to protracted food crisis contexts and preventing famine, largely rural phenomena, how do we nuance the humanitarian response to meet the needs in the most effective way and provide the right targeted assistance? And here I think it's vital to underscore, and this really gets back to the core of the question, just how important it is to have coherent, synchronized funding across all the sectors that are required to respond in a meaningful way to the reality of people. So this means, you know, responding to preventing famine isn't just about in-kind assistance and agriculture. It has to have coherent funding and attention to water and to nutrition and to health interventions. And these package of activities that we know from experience can be impactful if resourced in the right way. Humanitarian assistance has saved millions of lives and will continue to do so. But we can only prevent further slides towards catastrophe and reversing the trends of acute food insecurity with much more nuanced humanitarian response that both saves lives and, as we've heard already from powerful examples, also reinforces the livelihoods of those that are most vulnerable and marginalized, and especially in protracted crisis contexts. Investing in agriculture in emergencies is an example of how we can maximize impact and extend assistance to the maximum beneficiary caseload, while also reducing financial resources and requirements. This approach can save lives, can accelerate farmers' exit from hunger, and save billions of dollars. In 2022, very briefly, FAO reached 35 million people through emergency and resilience programming. Just a couple of examples in that regard. In Afghanistan, FAO assisted more than 6 million people. In 2023, we will assist over 8 million people. Wheat seed packages costing $250 in Afghanistan are enabling a family to produce for themselves to provide enough means to support and provide their cereal requirements for a 12-month period. And these seeds provide benefits for multiple years, helping to double yields, and they're shared between farmers. And the reason we will have an improved wheat harvest, winter wheat harvest in Afghanistan this year at a national level is because for once there was at scale attention to agriculture within time-sensitive agricultural interventions within humanitarian response. There are compelling examples. It works well. The Horn of Africa similarly. Life-saving interventions, which FAO implemented, supported 3.6 million people. This attention to livestock enabled 2.7 million children to have access to a cup of milk every day. We know the responses that make sense. The experience across organizations is hard-won. We need the funding to follow through on these experiences and these priorities and give attention to integrated, multi-sectoral responses at the right time with adequate attention to anticipatory action, as colleagues have said. Thank you very much, Excellency.